Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well, having a wonderful week. What a beautiful, beautiful day the Lord's given us. Talking about spring fever, I am ready. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Miss Lori? Absolutely, absolutely.
Let's remember Mary Garrett. She called me a couple of days ago and told me that Faith, that comes to her, her son had passed away. Don't know the details and all, but let's just remember.
Absolutely, most definitely will. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty, praise the Lord. Anyone on the left side? Spoken prayer request this evening? Okay. Praise God.
Up on the roster? I don't miss anybody.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Sister Hux called yesterday, I think it was, and her grandson that she's been praying for years and years to get off the drugs and all died. And still was good man, so she's pretty tore up about it. He don't live in Georgia. I don't know where he lives, but she has to be praying for that family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many things to lift up to the Lord this evening. And if you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by raising your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You this evening. Lord, we thank You for allowing us to come together in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, as we open this service, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, receptive to Your will, receptive to Your word. Lord, as Your word and Your message is brought forth this evening, Lord, we ask that just allow it to just to fall into our spirit, dear Lord, into our hearts and our mind. And, dear Lord, that we will just take this time tonight just to worship and praise You as we gather together. Lord, You hear the prayer requests this evening. Lord, You hear those that have lost a loved one, those that are going through those tragedies, those that are sick and shut in, dear Lord, that aren't able to be with us tonight. Dear Lord, all the other spoken prayer requests. Lord, we ask now that You'll just touch each and every one. Dear Lord, we know, dear Lord, that You have this world in Your hands. And, dear Lord, we're lifting up these requests to you and giving you all the honor and glory, dear Lord. And we ask now that you'll just bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them as they go about your business, dear Lord, and your ministry. All the other ministries going forth, from the young people outside to the little ones that's in their Bible study this evening. Lord, we just thank you, dear Lord, for those that are willing to teach, willing to step out and just do the will that you have them to do. We ask for your many blessings in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. You know, there's nothing that's too powerful or too great that God can't handle. That's why I think, and we're going to do Victory in Jesus. It's one that I do quite often on, we do quite often on Wednesday night. But you know, the victory is in His name. And we just want to claim it in Jesus' name. Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoned. My Savior forever, He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. His cleansing fire revealing how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Thank you, Lord. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory. Song of victory. Thank you. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love. Victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His God. Good to see you, each and every one of you. You may be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Just want to just mention to everybody as we get ready for this season coming up, but we're going to have a Sunday school drive. We want to get ready for, invite each and every one of you. If you're not in Sunday school, come join us. If you are, invite somebody. We'd love to have that going. And also, as the other ministries are getting kind of cranked back up, Banner Brothers met last night, and it was a wonderful time together. So if you'd like to know any more about any of our ministries, please just ask. We'd love to have you involved. Consider this your personal invitation. And for all you watching online, if you have a prayer request or need this evening, please just show in the comment category. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering tonight, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Sister Susan, if you would come on up. Sister Linda, if you'll start working your way this way. I see Brother Jim's already coming this way, so thank you.
I want to thank the Lord for all of His blessings. Had some lab work done last week, and it was pretty good. Considering I'm not eating like I'm supposed to.
Amen.
But I thank the Lord for that, and I thank Him for healing that I haven't seen yet, because I know He's going to touch me in my body and make me well again.
Amen.
Soon I'll come to the end of my journey, and I'll meet the one who gave His life for me. I will thank Him for the love that He gave me. And 10,000 years or more, I'll reign with Him.
My Savior. Give the Lord praise. You know, I've said this before, but we never know. I mean, you know, we don't, the ones that are called to sing, we don't even know that we're going to be asked to sing most of the time until we get here. Praise the Lord. But that's okay. That's all right. God has called us to sing, and so the way I look at it is I'm supposed to be ready, right? Yeah. All right. But just what you were talking about, you were thanking God for your healing, even though you haven't received it yet. Then I know you've been praying about it. And the words in this song says you keep praying and you keep holding on because God's going to come through. And I couldn't help but think of Brother Terry whenever I first looked at this song. I haven't sang it in a while, but I looked at the words of this song and it's just like, dear God, He has come so far. So far, we need to give God praise for everything that He's done, but for touching Brother Terry. He is a blessed man. He really is, and God has really been good to him, and we just thank Him. So, Brother Terry, you keep holding on and you keep praying, okay, because we're praying for you. Do the steps you take grow weary, like you're walking all alone? Does the midnight hour seem darker? Is it hard to sing a song? Just take a tighter hold on, hold. Breathe a prayer and don't let go. On praying for the victory, the Lord, you keep praying while God keeps moving. You keep holding on without a doubt. You keep knocking. Take that up one time, maybe a half a step. Can we take that up a half a step? Praise the Lord. When Daniel's prayer was hindered, Daniel still prayed on. Then Judges brought the angel to take the answer home. In spite of Satan's evil force, the answer's come for sure. You just keep on praying, for the battle is the Lord's. You keep praying while God keeps moving. You keep holding on without a doubt. You keep take grow weary, like you're walking all alone. Does the midnight hour seem darker? Is it hard to sing a song? Just take a tighter hold on, hold. Breathe a prayer and don't let go.
You know, that song she's singing there, keep on knocking, and the door will open, and the prayers will be answered. You know, something, this song here kind of hits a little bit on it, but you know, one of the hardest things out there today for people to face is loneliness. And, you know, I've known people in my life, personally, live like kings, basically. Got everything under the sun, but they're not happy. Their heart still empty. And it's loneliness. Loneliness they can't get from material things. Loneliness that they can't get from cruises and trips. You know? The only way that loneliness gap's going to be filled is by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you have Him, you're never going to be alone. Like the song, the title of this song says, where no one stands alone. Because if you know Christ, you don't stand alone. You don't stand alone. Think about that. No matter how bad things get, how tough it gets, you're not alone. You're not alone. You think your best buddy's going to help you? You go to him, you moan and groan. Well, you know, sorry. I'm in the same boat. But who can help you? Turn to the Lord. He's the only one. He's the only one that's going to give you that relief that you need. All right? Listen to this song.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low. Darkness as black as the sea, and my heart fell alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Why could he? I may live in a palace so tall, with great riches to call my own, but I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than day from here to the
Take my hand. Let me stand where no one stands alone. So much truth to that. Praise God. Thank you.
Wednesday evening prayer meeting time. What a wonderful time it is to gather in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm going to try to sing a song. I haven't sung in a long while. If I can get my pianist together. How many knows we come too far to turn back now? Amen. Yes. Too many miles behind me, too many trials are through, too many tears help me to remember there's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains, too many rivers my feet have walked through, too many treasures are waiting over yonder, there's too much to gain, to lose. I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's clear water. Defeat is one word I won't use. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains, too many rivers my feet have walked through, too many treasures are waiting over yonder, there's too much to gain, to lose. The writer says, I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Oh, but somewhere up ahead, there's cool, clear water. And I like this. Defeat is one word I won't use. Amen. Too many rivers to cross. One more time. Too many sunsets. Of course. We didn't practice it this way, I will assure you. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains, too many rivers my feet have walked through, too many treasures are waiting over yonder, there's too much to gain, to lose. Well, how many knows that's true? Amen. And that certainly was not the piano player's fault. That was all on me. I just thought I might ought to clear that up. Amen. Praise God. Well, God is good, isn't He, all the time. Amen. We are so blessed, folks. Amen.
If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of 2 Kings. In the 6th chapter of the book of 2 Kings, verses 13 through 19. Just want to thank the Lord for the services that go on. We were able to listen and watch and view the service last Wednesday night from a little mountain cabin up in the hills. And it was such a blessing, amen, to see you folks worshiping and praising the Lord. And as good as it was, it's still not as good as being here. And we're so happy to be here tonight. And I just turned my fingernail backwards. It's going to bleed, but it's all right. In the name of Jesus, amen. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 13. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to Elisha, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will show you," or "I will bring you, rather, to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love. Father, for this opportunity that you've given us here tonight, together. Father, for the desire that you've given us to come tonight. Lord, I pray your blessing. I pray your anointing. We're so thankful for the songs of praise tonight, God, and for your answering prayers, God. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would just anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint this tongue, God, just to speak that you would have us to hear tonight, that we would be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And we'll be so careful, Lord, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight, for just a little while, I want to bring a message entitled, "Open My Eyes, Lord. Open My Eyes." This particular chapter, and actually according to most scholars and most Bible authorities, that the book of Kings is pretty much in agreement that Jeremiah the prophet wrote the books of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, and the exploits of the prophets Elijah and Elisha. This is Elisha, the one who was the understudy to Elijah, who, if you'll remember, that he followed Elijah around. He wanted a double portion of what Elijah had. And you know, Elijah told him, "You've asked a hard thing." But nevertheless, he followed him. And when Elijah was taken up, his mantle fell, and Elisha picked up the mantle. And the first thing he did was go down to the River Jordan, and he smote the waters, and they divided, because he wanted to test the same power that Elijah had. And how many knows that that ought to make us exceedingly happy, because we, in fact, have that same power of God that the prophets had then, that day and hour. So this particular story is actually a twofold story. So if you'll allow me just a little time to more or less present it in a story-like form, and then maybe with the Lord's help, I'll get to my point somewhere before we go home tonight, if that's all right. But here it is. It's kind of a story that unfolds in kind of two scenarios a little bit. But the first thing is that the prophet Elisha is with his understudies. Now, Elijah is out of the picture now, and Elisha has become the main prophet, if you will. And he has a lot of understudies under him, and they're referred to in the Bible as the sons of the prophet. So when you see written in the book of the Bible, the sons of the prophet, that means those were the understudies or the ministers under the main prophet, and they was kind of ministering to him and also learning about how it is to trust in God and to be the doing the ministerial things at that particular time. So the Bible says that one or some of the sons of the prophet came to Elisha because what had happened, they had had so many people to come and be the understudies of Elisha that they'd outgrown their house. How many ever feels like sometimes you've outgrown your house a little bit as your family grows or as we begin to accumulate things over the years? And it's very interesting, and the reason I'm sharing this because there is a common thread all throughout this particular story, and I want to bring that into to play just a little bit later. But anyway, the sons of the prophet come to Elisha, and they tell him, you know, Master, we want to go, and every man get a beam, in other words, cut down a tree, and we want to go a little closer to the River Jordan, and we want to build a bigger complex. We've outgrown this one. This facility's too small. And we just want to make a bigger one. Now, I don't know how the sons of the prophet came. I don't know if they thought that Elisha would probably shoot it down or he would say, no, we're fine where we are, because God was blessing, God was anointing, the ministers were growing, and God was moving mightily. But I believe that Elisha recognized and he had a special relationship with God. And I believe because of his answer was very quickly, he said, yes, you can go. And then they say, will you go with us? And he says, yes, I will go with you. Most of the time, the prophets would not do anything or make a decision without consulting God. They would pray, they would fast, and ask the leadership of God. That kind of makes me think this was already in the works. How many knows that so many times we're praying, we're agonizing, we're meditating for God to intercede on our behalf when God may already have it working out, and we just need to be obedient to God and hear the voice of God. And when God opens the door, hello, we need to go through it. Amen. So many times we'll stand in an open door and say, God, just show me the way, when he's already opened a spiritual door. So nevertheless, whatever the case was, Elisha agreed, and they go to a little bit closer location to the River Jordan, and they begin to build a new complex or a new place for them to live or a new house. And you know the story. There's a really cute story that's added in there, because as they were chopping down the trees, one of the servants, they're called servants, the sons of the prophet, he was chopping down a tree, and lo and behold, the axe head fell off of the handle and went into the river, and he was very distraught about it, and he goes running to Elisha, and he said, you know, man, and I'm paraphrasing here, said, I'm in a lot of trouble here. Said, I was cutting down the tree, the axe head flies off into the water. And the bad thing about it, it was not my axe. It was a borrowed axe. What am I going to do? And Elisha says, gets the stick. He said, you know, stick it into the water. The Bible refers to the axe head actually swimming or making connection with the stick. And he was able to retrieve the axe head and go on with cutting down his wood for the house. So now they built the house. The house is constructed and God seemingly is blessing. And then the story reverts into a war between the king of Syria and has declared war on Israel. I mean, you know, sometimes when we think we have our house in order, we have everything right, think, you know, the blue skies are shining, the bluebirds are chirping, and everything looks well, and all of a sudden, just out of the clear blue, the devil or the enemy declares war upon us, when we thought everything was going really good and smooth. Well, here we find this situation. And Elisha, who has a special relationship with God, and I keep saying that because he has to have this special relationship with God to be able to see what God allows him to see that others don't seem to be able to see. So the king of Syria, he begins to tell his troops, we're going to go to a certain place, and this is where we're going to have our encampment. So Elisha is not even aware, he's not even there anywhere, but he tells the king of Israel, this is where the enemy is going to be encamped. And every single time that they go or move to another encampment, Elisha just tells the king of Israel, send your army over here or avoid that place because that's where the enemy is encamped. Oh, church, would it be good If we had such a relationship with God that we knew exactly where the enemy was camping, and we knew every time he moved, and we knew what he was up to. And you know what? I believe if God was able to let Elisha understand and know that, and we have access to that same power, if we have faith enough and trust enough in Almighty God to say, Lord, I don't know the way, but you know the way. You can let me know the enemy and where he comes from and where he's going to be. So the enemy, the king of Syria, is very, very upset. He knows without a doubt that there is a spy in the camp. So he calls in all of his admirals and generals or whatever he would call them at that particular time. And he says, surely someone is a spy in the camp, and he's going to the king of Israel and he's telling them where we're going to be. And they all say, no, that's not us. We would never do that. But one speaks up, says, it's that old prophet. It's that old prophet Elisha. He knows exactly where we're going to be. He knows exactly where you're going to camp. And the king says, okay, I've had enough of this. So he rounds up a great host, the Bible says. Probably a whole infantry, in my thinking. And he sends them with this direction, go and take him. In other words, bring him back to me. We're going to put a stop to this. You know, the enemy gets all upset when we begin to understand where his direction is and where how he manipulates and how he deceives and how he comes against us. You know, there was a message I preached a long time ago. It said, who are you and where did you come from? And that's found over in the Old Testament too. I think it was when some of the people dressed up in rags and all like that, made a great long journey. They were trying to deceive the army of Israel, and they came up and they were really ragged and all like they've been traveling, but yet they were the enemy. And the question that was asked was, who are you and where did you come from? You know, those questions will still work today. When the devil begins to speak to us, when he begins to come against us, when he begins to cause controversy in our life or disturbance or distress or whatever the situation is, ask these questions. Who are you? And where did you come from? And if it's not anointed by God, be careful of it. Amen? I just thought I'd throw that in. But anyway, so the Elisha, he goes and he tells him, said, go bring Elisha back to me. So he sends the army over there. So the army sneaks in by night. You ever thought how Satan does sometimes? Kind of doesn't want to confront you face to face, especially if you're anointed of God, because he knows the word of God. Do we know the word of God? Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Amen. Satan kind of knows that, but he's hoping you forgot that. And he's hoping that you forgot the authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you speak to Satan in the name of Jesus, it strikes fear in his very being. Because we're not asking him in my name. We're certainly not asking him in the name of First Pentecostal Church. Amen. He would probably just laugh at that. But when you say, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has to flee from you. Amen. Yeah, give Lord praise. Thank God for that authority. So he sends his army there, and they sneak in by night, and they completely encompass the city there, which is Dothan. Dothan plays a lot of important roles in the Bible. Do you remember that when Joseph went out, his daddy sent him out to hunt his brethren. And they were supposed to be in Dothan. But he goes to Dothan and they wasn't where they were supposed to be. There's a whole message in that. So he goes and finds them, and then you know the rest of the story. But you know what? God even had a plan for Joseph. He even had a plan for Joseph to be apprehended by his brothers and put in the pit, amen, so he could take him out of the pit and put him in the palace, amen. If you're in the pit right now, just hold on, amen. Hold on. God knows exactly where you are, and he knows what he's doing. And just get ready, because he's going to pull you out of the pit, put you back into the palace where we need to be, amen, when we put our faith and trust in God. So anyway, they go to Dothan, and they sneak in at night. And they completely encompass or encircle the city of Dothan. And they're getting ready to make their move. And they're going to close in. And they're going to take Elisha. Now this is where it gets very, very interesting to me. Because here comes one of the sons of the prophet. Not sure. They don't name him. Don't know if it was the one that the axe head fell off. Don't even know if it was the one who originally said, Elisha, we need to build a bigger complex. He was acting on faith then. He was also acting on faith when Elisha told him to stick the stick in the water and retrieve the axe handle, the axe head, because it would swim. Not sure. The Bible doesn't say whether or not. But one of the servants goes out and he sees this large army completely encircled around, and they're closing in and they're coming after Elisha. And he says, alas, master, what shall we do? Because what does he see? He sees the issue. He sees the problem. He sees the obstacle. And Elisha, the Bible doesn't say that Elisha comes out, you know, screaming and hollering, oh my goodness, Lord, what are you going to do? Here we are, we've moved to a new place, you blessed me and all, and now you're going to allow this army to come in. It's the exact opposite. It's almost like Elisha is completely calm, not bothered by the situation in the very least. In fact, probably was expecting it. Don't you think that such a relationship that he had with God, and he knew where the enemy was, and he knew where their encampment was, he knew every time that they pulled up stakes and moved, he knew exactly their destination. I believe that God probably had already warned him, you know what, there's going to be an army coming after you, but don't worry, because they that be with you are more than they that's going to be against you. Amen. But the son of the prophet, he could only see the inevitable. He could only see what was before him. But Elisha spoke to him. And he prayed, God, open his eyes. And told him to look again. And this time when he looked, this is what I got all excited about. He looked beyond the enemy. Come on. He looked beyond the obstacle. He looked beyond the problem. Amen. Have you ever been looking at something and totally missed something that was in the background? Because you was viewing something here. Your eyes were so fixed on that. Case in point. This is really, really cute. We were in the mountains last week, like I said. Of course, the grandkids, you know, they saw this place that said Top Jump, I think it was. You know, we're thinking, you know, Penny and I, we usually go to restaurants, shopping, places like that, you know, Top Jump. What's that? Oh, Papa, you'll love it. You jump on trampolines. I said, I don't think so. But anyway, they got to go. I was in there. So we were taking pictures. They harness up. They climb up these walls. They jump, and they're just going bang, bang, bang. There's just wall-to-wall trampolines. So I got the camera, and I'm following, and I see Kylie going boing, boing, boing. There goes Trey, boing, boing, boing. And, you know, we're sitting there. And then later on, I'm showing Kylie. She wants to see the videos. So she's looking, and all of a sudden, she just dies laughing. I mean, hysterical. She's just tears running down her face, and she keeps playing it over and over and over and over. And I said, what's so funny? She said, Papa, look. And I said, yeah, you and Trey? No, she said, look in the background. And in the background, there were other kids, and there was one bigger kid, and she was bouncing, and she was going to do a front flip, and it didn't go well. In fact, she looked like I would have done if I tried to do it. She hit that, I mean, just eat that mat up and bounced and bounced and bounced. And I don't know. There's something hysterical about seeing somebody do something like that. Your second thought is, oh, hope they're not hurt. But you're still laughing. And but I had totally missed it. Totally missed it because I was focused on them and I didn't see the background. And there's such a spiritual meaning there. So many times, as Brother Tony preached that very night, you know, our focus. When did I lose my focus? You know, we begin to focus on the wrong things. And certainly in the environment that we're living in right now, I believe too many Christians are fixed on the wrong thing. They're focused on the immediate problem, on the issue, and they're not looking beyond by eyes of faith. And saying, wait a minute, Lord, open my eyes. Open my spiritual eyes. Because it's not my natural eye that needs to be opened. It's my spiritual eye. It's my eye of faith. It's my eye of trust. And my eye of knowing that he that is with me is greater than he that is against me. And Elisha just calmly says, open his eyes. See, Elisha saw it already. Oh, wouldn't we love to be
that close to God. When the issue arises, we're already looking past it. We're already looking to the author and finisher of our faith. The first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God is all those things and more to us if we put our faith and trust in Him. So he says, look again. And this time, the little servant, he looks and he describes it this way. He sees horses and chariots of fire. Amen. All around the army that has them encircled. Glory to God. Satan just thinks he has you cornered. Tell him, look again. Look behind you, big boy. Amen. Look to the one that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. As Deuteronomy says, you know, be strong, be courageous, because I won't leave you and I won't forsake you, because he that is with us is greater than them that is against us. So the servant's eyes are opened and he's just, you know, mesmerized by this great show of force. But I want you to look at something. The army of chariots of fire and horses never lifted a weapon. They were just there in case they were needed. But you know what? That same prophet who had prayed for the opening of the servant's eyes calmly says, Lord, blind the eyes of the enemy. What a prayer. What a prayer for a Christian. Lord God, blind the eyes of the enemy where he can't see me, where he can't come against me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're greater than he is, Lord. Protect me not only with that armor, not only with the sword of the Spirit, but also the very blindness that he can't even find me. Amen. Because I'm so entrenched in the presence of God. So Elijah just plainly, just calmly says, Lord, blind the eyes. And they're groping around. And they come. This is where Elisha, the great prophet, the great anointed man of God, we see a lighter side of him. We almost see a sense of humor. Because he says, this is not the right place. Do you have the holy boldness to sell Satan when he comes into your house? This is not the right place. No, this house is anointed of God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Get thee out of my face. Get out of my house and leave me alone. This is not the right place. Go bug somebody else. So they're blinded. They're totally dependent on him. And he says, follow me and I'll show you where you need to go. And he leads them right into Samaria, where the king of Israel is with his army. Amen. Can you say, easy pickings? You know, the king of Israel and his army could have destroyed every single one of the enemies. So we ask Elisha, should I slay them? And Elisha said, no. No, don't slay them. Feed them, give them drink, and send them on their way. Wow. Wait a minute, God. You got an army of horses and chariots of fire right now that you could just call down. They could totally annihilate this army. After all, they were coming after me, God. But Elisha says, no, just feed them, give them drink, send them on their way. Jesus on the cross of Calvary had the power to call down angels from heaven. Every Roman soldier on the hill of Golgotha could have been slain in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But it wasn't God's plan. nor was killing this army inside of Samaria God's plan either. Can I just go ahead and say, so many times our plan does not measure up to God's plan. Sometimes we want vengeance, and the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And God doesn't always work in vengeance, because listen, God already had a plan. Because I want to tell you, if you read that story, and if you read the end of it, after they fed them and gave them to drink, Elisha prayed and their eyes were opened, and they scurried back to Syria. And the Bible says the king of Syria, basically, I'm paraphrasing, didn't bug them no more. He didn't come against Israel again, not in his kingship. So God has a plan. Amen. But the whole thing, in every situation, Elisha was able to see what the others could not. And I took that story and I said, God, help me. Help me to see in a spiritual way. Help me to see through eyes of faith. Not necessarily just see the problem, but see the problem solver. Not see the obstacle, but see the pathway. You know, so many times, well, there's no way out of this. Yes, there is. Amen. Through God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. And that power that God anointed Elisha with is still just as real today, because the Bible tells me Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has given us that power. After the infilling of the Holy Ghost comes upon us, given us power, great power, not in ourselves, but in the Spirit that He has blessed us with. So I honestly pray, Lord, help us, help me. That's the reason I entitled it, Open My Eyes, so that I may see. So that I may see victory when defeat is staring me in the face. And I'll go ahead and praise Him for it anyway. Sister Susan, I almost shouted back there when she was talking about, I'm going ahead and claiming victory now before I even see the evidence. My goodness, that's what kind of faith God honors. That's eyes of faith. Because faith is not seeing something. We talk about it all the time. After the fact faith. You know, after he crossed the Red Sea, or after the children of Israel came through on the other side, after the three Hebrew children came out of the fire. No, have faith before God even does it. To see that around us all the time, God has a protecting army. Amen. One that we might not see naturally, but we can see or understand that they are there. Let me just kind of bring this down. Have you ever felt in a dire emergency, you felt something? You couldn't see it, but you felt the nearness of Almighty God, almost like He had His angels encamped round about you. You know, that's Bible. The Bible will let you, those angels encamp round about us. You may not see them, amen, but open your eyes of faith and know that they're there to protect you. My, when you say, ooh, that was close. You know, it could have been devastating. But maybe those angels kind of interceded on your behalf. Almost had a bad accident. Yeah, but you didn't. Amen. We don't see those things. We just see the natural thing. But Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to look past the division, the disturbance, all of the stuff that's happening in this world, the current events that seem to be so alarming. And help me look and see that great army. Oh, my Lord, that heavenly army that is surrounding us. Praise God. And you hear me say it all the time. Folks, if you get too discouraged, look over in the back of the book. We win. We win. Amen. It may not look real good now, but we win. And we're going to be winners in Christ because He is our leader. May God bless you tonight. I know it's been a little bit different, but I hope that you got something out of this. If nothing else, just say, Lord, give me greater eyes of faith to be able to see the victory. Amen. Even when defeat is staring me in the face. As that song says, defeat is one word I don't use. I'm not going to use it. We don't need to use the word defeat because we're never defeated as long as we're on the side of Christ. It may look like it's a defeating situation, but God is always the winner. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? Just if you love the Lord, give Him a hand clap of praise. Amen. We love you so very much. We thank God for you. Remember those who are in need of prayer. Remember those that send their request in on text. And let's pray for them. You have a prayer request? Okay.
If anybody else needs prayer tonight, please come forward. Some of the elders come around. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're trusting you, God, that you would move on behalf of this person. God, touch this prayer box, and it'll be a reminder of your power, of your anointing. God, I pray, Lord, that you would reach right now, God. Lord, let them know, God, that you love them. Let them know, God, that you are the answer. Father, we pray right now for this situation. Move mightily, God, as only you can do, God. Give us eyes of faith tonight, Lord. God, to call it done. Lord, to look beyond the problem. To look beyond the obstacle right now and declare it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise him. Susan, if you would just anoint us. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come right, God, as we anoint us to